Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to today's segment of Afternoon Satsang on our Thursday live program. As always, both Prem and myself from the Radio Sai Studios, we offer our humble gratitude and pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. And before we begin, let me just tell you that today we are going to have something special that we have lined up for you. This is going to be a satsang between Prem and myself, but it will be a satsang with a difference in the sense that it is a pre-recorded one. But again, there are some things we must know before we go into the satsang. This discussion on a very poignant portion of Swami's life actually happened as a presentation that Prem and I got the opportunity to make to the students of the Mudanahalli campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And the theme was on Swami's childhood. And as you know, once we start speaking on Swami's childhood, there is no end to it. In fact, if I remember right, we have had an afternoon satsang serial spanning 25 episodes on just the childhood of Swami. So, in 1.5 hours, what can we do to compress Swami's childhood? That was the challenge, and it was Bhagwan who gave the answer. The answer came in the form of an inspiration, because we felt that every part of Swami's life highlights any noble aspect that we want to. At the same time, every single part of Swami's life, as it highlights every noble aspect that we want to see too. So it is like a part containing the whole and the whole containing the part. So with that inspiration in mind, we felt that we should look closely at the Kamalapuram days of Swami's childhood. The Kamalapuram days give so many messages, so many inspirations, so many lessons, so many insights, especially for the youth, but also for people of all age groups, people of all professions, people of, you know, everyone. It's universal, because the truth is universal. So we hope that you have a wonderful time listening to the satsang, because we had a wonderful time preparing for the satsang before we presented to the students. So you will hear us addressing only dear brothers there. That is because it was a men's campus, but it is meant for all. So without further ado, we will go into that satsang that we had in the Mudanahalli campus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of High Learning, on the theme, His Life Being His Message, with focus on the Kamalapuram days.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering our most humble pranams at the lotus feet of beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Swami, respected elders, dear brothers, when we look at Swami's life, the most amazing thing is, though Swami's life is in different stages like any of our lives, child, teenage, young adult, any stage of his life has got lessons for all the stages of our life. And all the stages of his life have lessons for each stage of our life. Before we dive into the childhood years specifically, because that is our theme, I would like to narrate one little incident which I got to know recently, because it is greatly relevant for us today. I think it has been always relevant, but greatly relevant today, because we feel this is the time when Swami is not there in the physical. Brother Arvind, you were lucky. You could write a book. What can we do? Where do I have got experiences? How can I write a book? Let me tell you, everybody has been feeling this from years. When I came to Swami in 1998 as a student, I felt I was unlucky that I come late. Because you know what? From 1993 onwards, they said that the proximity has reduced. Before 1993, it was amazing. So I went to a person who was there with Swami before 93 and said, "You are the most blessed." He said, "No. What happened?" "Late. You know, in the 80s, how it was? Fantastic it was." So I went to a person from the 80s. Guess what? He feels it. A person from 60 still feels it, a person from 40, 30, 50, he feels. What a mistake at that time, I didn't know what Swami was. Everybody feels that they did not get enough of Swami. So, that is no new thought, no new thing in that. But this incident happened in the year 2006 in Kodaikanal. Kodaikanal visits with Swami is something that every student looks forward to, because you get proximity, you get chances, you get opportunities. It also allows us great amount of envy, positive envy maybe, jealousy. Why only these people go? I felt it. Swami, that guy has gone 4 times, Swami, I have not gone even once. Equality, where is the equality? Okay, some people are more blessed than the others, but why are you giving them repeated opportunities? The warden at Vrindavan campus, Dr. T. Ravi Kumar, if you have heard an incident, you would have come to know, once he poured sulfuric acid into his eyes, once he poured chromic acid into his eyes, both the times Swami granted back his eyesight. You know, it feels unfair, because why Swami 4 eyes to one person? You could have given 1 eye to 4 people. It's more, you know, it's more better distribution, right? If you have come with the agenda of granting 4 eyesights, give 1 eye to 4 people. Why 4 eyes to one person only? It feels so unfair. For that, you know, all these questions that bother us, is God partial? Why does it speak to some? Why only? You know, this is a beautiful answer. That's why I'm giving this much build up for this episode. So during this Kodaikanal visit, there was one special added opportunity, which is holding Swami's hand, because Swami had sustained a fall and broken his hip. So every time Swami would get up from his chair to walk to his room or walk to the dining room, different students would get the opportunity to hold Swami's hand. So one day, one of the students, as Swami got up, Swami held his hand, and as Swami slowly walking across the hall, Swami looks at the other students who are seated there, and Swami is telling him, lucky fellow, no? Lucky fellow, holding Swami's hand. What we tell to each other, lucky fellow, I sat in front, got up to hold Swami's hand. If I was there, what we tell Swami is telling, lucky, no? Holding Swami's hand. So everybody, what they can say, they were just holding their hands and, yes, Swami, you know, very lucky. They had a smile on their face. But the next statements that Swami made wiped the smile off their faces, got them into real serious thought, because what Swami said, the first statement was shocking. Swami said, no use of holding Swami's hand, no benefit. And the next statement was, seeking and pining to hold the hand gives benefit. There is no benefit in holding Swami's hand. Pining to hold his hand will give you benefits. I say this is a beautiful, redeeming statement for all of us, because we may or may not get the chance to hold his hand. But we all have the equal capability, equal capacity, equal time, equal energy to pine to hold his hand. And as Swami says, holding his hand brings no benefit. One who has got 100 interviews seeks the 101st. And Swami says, if you pine to hold the hand, whether you hold the hand or not, you will get benefit. Please do read the story of one certain Krishnamurti from Satyam Shivam Sundaram part 1. He pined to see Swami's feet in a time when everybody could daily take 100 Padmanabhas, but Swami didn't even Padmanabhas. Read the story of how he merged into Swami. You know, the beautiful thing is, brothers, he didn't see Swami's feet because he had closed his eyes for 2 weeks, saying that till I see Swami's feet, I won't open my eyes. And Swami didn't give him to see. Why Swami? Why this demand? He doesn't want the world, he wants you, and you're not giving. Swami didn't. But he got liberated. Read that story. He got liberated. Krishnamurti got liberated without even seeing Swami's feet. We might have touched Swami's feet 100 times. What is the use? Without pining, any number of opportunities do not matter. And if there is pining, opportunities do not matter. Which means, irrespective, opportunities do not matter. What matters is how we pine for the opportunity. So therefore, it is not late, it is not early, because as long as we have pining, we have everything. And if there is no pining, it doesn't matter how much we have got. We can still go astray. And therefore, we go into Swami's life, because dear brothers, this is the sweetest, most wonderful way to increase our pining for Swami. That is the magical thing, right? When you are hungry, if I come and tell, brothers, don't worry. Just now, you know, I had super puris with aviyar, awesome rasgulla, cake ending with a super, you know, dessert. So don't worry, be satisfied. You will throw slippers at me. But when you are pining for Swami, if I come and tell, brother, let me tell you something that happened in 1940, you will listen and applaud for me. That is why happiness is union with God. Nothing of the worldly sense gives permanent joy. But Swami's stories, Krishna's stories, Rama's stories are a joy forever. It is with that objective in our heart that both brothers Prem and myself, we will go into just one phase of Swami's student life. A phase which is filled with lessons and meaning, especially for students at this age.
So before we start reading or listening to stories from Swami's life, there is a certain perspective that we need to have. It's like any problem that we do in our everyday subjects. You're given a problem to solve. You have to, what is the first thing that you do in a quadratic equation? You separate what are the constants and you separate what are the variables. Keep the constants constant and try to solve the variables. Right? Sometime back, Bhagyasya was sharing this incident with us. In an interaction, Swami was there and there were some devotees and students around Swami. There was this one devotee who was, you know, we are all into this habit. The moment we go to Swami's presence, we want to eulogize him, we want to praise him, because we've been trained that way. So this devotee went on saying, Swami, you're Parabrahman, Swami, you're this, you're that, you're Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. Swami didn't seem to be too interested or impressed. So after some time, when Swami was having his handkerchief, he was wiping his face, suddenly Swami crumpled the whole handkerchief in his hand and just let out that one tip of that white handkerchief. And almost like in disgust, and you know, Swami got so vexed, Swami said, "Inte telsaraviko." He said, "It's only this much that you know of Swami." And then Swami let go of the remaining handkerchief and said, "This much is yet to be known." So Bhagyasya sees Swami's feet and he said, "Swami, tell us how we know the remaining. What should we know? What should we do to know the remaining?" And then Swami said one very simple sadhana is there. Swami said, "Every day, every morning, every night, every moment, remind yourself that Swami is God." Bhagyasya was saying, "Too simple. Swami, I thought some better sadhana you would tell us." But then when he said that, he reflected on it and he said, if we remember that Swami is omnipresent and omnipotent and omniscient and He is divine and He is with me, the way we behave every day will be completely different. And Swami said, unless we do that, we are not going to know the rest of the glory of Swami. And Swami tells in a discourse very beautifully, He said, why do you eat food? You take the food, I can give an example of food. So I hope you are not making you more hungry than you should be. So Swami said, you know, you take food, you have this whole body, but the food is placed only in the mouth. But the food that is placed in the mouth is not meant only for the mouth. The nutrition is supposed to percolate through your body and reach every part, every corner of your limbs. Swami said, similarly, when you come to Swami, you put your hands together. And you say, Swami, Swami, Bhagwan. Swami said, what does this putting your hands together mean? Is we have heard it from Swami's discourses many times. Karmendriyas and Jnanendriyas, you bring it together. Swami said, this act of you going down in front of God and recognizing God should percolate into your Jnanendriyas and Karmendriyas. In every action, every activity of your senses, it should percolate. Okay, so the constant of the equation is that Swami is God. Now, you look at each small part of Swami's life. And what does Swami say? Because, yeah, if you go and tell somebody, you know, Swami is not important, Swami's message is important, then the question is, okay, give me the message, I'll follow it. That's the difficult part. So what does Swami say? You don't have to do anything, just look at my life. Swami says, my life is my message. And interestingly, you know, any cricket fans here? I'll give an example from cricket.
They all are cricket.
You know, in the 90s, the Indian cricket team was one of the most physically unfit team. Right? We couldn't imagine an Indian cricketer flying across the field and taking a one-handed catch, or even stopping the ball. We had this typical imagery of the ball going and they just lift their hand. Saying that, you know, the guy in the boundary will catch it. So we were so unfit and we couldn't imagine. Today if we see, the Indian cricket team is one of the best fielding teams in the world. And if you observe, how did that change happen? You know, we've had many coaches over the years. Apparently there's one coach who really brought that defining change, and he happens to be Gary Preston. And if you talk to those coaches, players who were under Gary Preston, he said, nobody was as fit as Gary Preston in the team. Because when he asked us to do 100 push-ups, he would do 150. When he asked us to run 2 miles, he would run 3. That's how fit the coach was. And the moment the coach is able to do much more than what he expects you to do, that discipline automatically comes down. And that is why Swami says, I'm not going to be a teacher from a platform, I'm going to be a drill master. I'm going to do, and I want you to do. So what we are going to do now is, you know, this we've learned from the mistake we did in the university moral class, because there we went, they said, you speak about Swami's life. We had a big list, Kamalapuram, Murmukunda, what Swami did in Puttaparthi, what Swami did in Puttaparthi, and we covered just half of Kamalapuram. So we said, let's take only Kamalapuram today. You know, experience makes you wise. So only a very, very small part of Swami's childhood. And just to give you the context, Swami was in Puttaparthi, and we all know how Swami used to take care of his grandfather. Swami would describe, he'd cook in the morning, go running to school, come back running at recess, serve his grandfather, then go running back to school, then come running back in the evening. So the family decided, if this boy goes on like this, he will not become a government clerk. Oh my God, that would be a disaster. Because they wanted to make Swami a government clerk. Imagine that. So Sesha Maharaj came and he said, you know, we have to take care of this boy's education. So they said, let's take him to Kamalapuram. Because in Kamalapuram, Sesha Maharaj Garu, who is Swami's elder brother, was undergoing teacher's training. So they said, he said, you send Swami with me, I will keep Swami in Kamalapuram and let him study from there. But what was the situation in Kamalapuram? There Sesha Maharaj Garu was staying in the house of his in-laws. It was not his own house. So when Swami went to Kamalapuram, Swami started doing as much work as he was doing in Puttaparthi, if not more. Because Swami would describe many, many years later, and this again is something which we all have to learn. I was talking to one of the seniors, and he was telling that almost till 1980s or 1975, Swami never spoke of these things. Apparently, after that, Swami's sister-in-law and brother moved on. Swami did not want to speak of these things in the presence of those people because Swami did not want them to lose respect. But the lesson is there and the lesson has to be imparted. So Swami started speaking and Swami would say, you know, Kamalapuram is in Kadapa district, you have the Penna River there. Swami had to fetch water. You all have seen that painting, a drawing of Swami carrying water with a long pole, 2 pots on either side. Swami would trek 2 kilometers up and 2 kilometers back, not once but twice a day, getting water for this household. Now, going back to the equation, every incident that we narrate, keep this constant. Swami is divine. Swami is divine. So Swami, who is God, we heard P.G. Krishnamurti sir, Swami spending 200 and odd crores and getting water for Chennai. Swami spending 150 crores and getting water for Anantapur. That is what Swami could do by the mere sankalpa that he had. But he chose to walk 2 kilometers up, 2 kilometers back, carrying water on his shoulder.
So when you look at Swami's childhood life, you will see that, especially now we are focusing on the Kamalapuram years, when Swami goes to Kamalapuram, he is doing so much of hard work, which actually it is not that he could have just said, see, I have come here for studies, let me focus on my studies. There they said that I am cooking food for grandfather and it is taking time and I am coming here and you are making me fetch water from mines. He could have said that. If he didn't want to say that, he could have just said, okay, I'll do it. He could have closed his eyes and made a will. He could have willed that water go, water will be fetched here. Why the pots can fill themselves with water? Recently, we heard Professor Bhagya mentioning about an incident where there were less number of baskets of mangoes. Because those mangoes were brought only for the students. So about 10-15% extra had been kept. And he said that once the students got the mangoes, Swami said, oh, 15 more baskets are left. Some other school had come, he said, distributed to them. And Bhagya sir is saying that sitting there, I am calculating that nowhere it's going to be enough. Possibly you can give all the top rankers in the class or the teachers something like that. You can't give the whole school there. And he says, because I was observing, I saw right in front of my eyes, from the same place the student is coming and taking the basket going. In the end, 15 baskets have still remained. And this had been given by Swami's former classmate, one Satyanarayana. Bukkapattanam Satyanarayana. And Swami told him that you can take 5 things, these are extra. Swami, who could manufacture not mangoes but mango baskets, can't he get 2 pots of water? He did it. And this is not only then. Brothers, you know, when the first mandir, the Patha mandir was built, Swami would get up early in the morning, sweep and mop the mandir, and keep flowers for all the photographs, everything, do the puja, and then wait for devotees to come. That is when some ladies came and said, Swami, how can you sweep, Swami? No, you don't sweep. Swami would not listen. So you know what the lady decided? They decided that we will get up before Swami gets up. Before he can get up itself, we will do the whole thing and leave it clean. And that was a scene that was observed by Tirumala Achar, who wrote the Suprabhatam. And that is why he has included that paragraph saying, Sita Sati Sama Vishuddha Hridam Bhujata. He was very impressed that even before the sun is rising, these women are ready and they are doing all this. But Swami never said, I want my women to get up morning and do rangoli, everything, and keep it ready when I come home. He would do everything himself. In fact, when we read of the accounts of the early devotees from Bangalore, it's so moving, dear brothers. Swami would go and mostly the hosts would be much elder than Swami. But they would fall at his feet, welcome him with Purna Kumbham. But Swami would get up even before they get up, finish his bath, keep hot water ready for them. You know, it would be a comfort for them to host Swami at home. It was not a headache for them. It's not like, oh God, Swami has come, no, next 4 days take off, holiday from office. Give up all things, dedicate yourself for his seva, 4 days, forget. No sleep, nothing, it was not like that. Those 4 days became extra comfortable because Swami would keep vegetables chopped, Swami would keep hot water, Swami would clean up the house. These are the things. And he would do it physically. You know, many times I get tears thinking, why? Okay, Swami, you do it, but why physically? You know, just will it, right? There's a reason why he does all this. And it's only to give a message because my life is my message. You may not understand Telugu, but you can read my life, you can see my life. That is why Swami did everything, and as Brother Prem said, so when Swami has been identified as God and he has declared himself as God, he is doing all this. One can only imagine how much he has done as a resident of the Kamalapuram house.
You know, nowadays, let's say I buy a new gadget, I buy a new mobile phone, or let's say a gadget which I don't know how it works at all. So what do we do? The first thing we do is go to YouTube, see an unboxing video, at least I do that, to know how to use this gadget best. What's the idea behind it? I have something in my hand, I want to know what is the best way to, you know, bring out optimum usage of it, right? So like that, God has given us one body. So now the question is, how do I draw out optimum happiness from this body? That's the question we all have. We eat, we sleep, we do whatever we do, all in the quest of this finding this happiness from this body. So what do? What's the unboxing video we have for this gadget which we have? Saints and sages over the years have thought over it and sat in meditation and tried lifetimes together trying to explore it, and they come out with one line user manual. They say, paropakarartham idam sharira. He said, if you want to draw maximum happiness out of this body, this is how it has to be used. Paropakarartham idam sharira. So when we listen to this statement, many times we think, okay, we should do seva. So I finish my studies, I will go and take up a job, and then I will go to seva. But what Swami showed us through these years was, it is not about you waiting for that opportunity to go out and help the homeless. It is about every moment, how much can we make our presence useful to those around us. And that's exactly what Swami did when he was in Swami's grandfather's house, how he made himself useful. When he went to his brother's house, how he made himself useful. So when Swami says paropakarartham idam shariram, it's a very, very deep statement. Because Swami would say, When you're in your house, you serve your parents, that is Parupakara. When you're walking in the street, you're concerned about the person who is walking beside you. You call it civic sense, but it is Parupakara. When you go into your office, you're thinking, what is my duty? You're not asking, what is my right? But you're asking, what is my responsibility? That is Parupakara. And that is why this part of Swami's life, where Swami very, very cheerfully, Swami did not crib, Swami did not complain. Swami very, very cheerfully led his life, helping and serving others. And that is the wonderful message that Swami gave us through this one episode in his life.
It's not as if I will complete my education, finish my whatever training, join a good post, earn a lot, settle my children. After all that is done, then you know I have got enough money, I can serve others. It's not like that. We can serve now, we can serve right here. Whatever be the stage of life, whatever be our financial status, whatever it is, never is it the wrong time to serve. And serve doesn't mean you go and giving something to others. Just doing what you are supposed to do, your duty in the perfect way, that itself becomes service. In the Kamalapuram years, when Bhagwan has narrated this so many times, the most important, the most defining episode happens over just a week or so. And that is the most defining episode of the whole Kamalapuram years, which is the fair, the cattle fair at Pushpagiri. You know, by the way, Kamalapuram is about 210 kilometers from Puttaparthi. Even to this day, it takes 3 hours in your latest car to go there. Swami didn't go in a car, he went in a car. So you can understand how much time he would have taken to go there. So far, and to this day, I was seeing on Google Maps the distance from Kamalapuram to this Pushpagiri fair. There's a Chennakeshava Swami temple on the banks of which the Pushpagiri fair is held. I wish to visit it one day in a car. But even to this day, Google Maps says that be careful, the road here is not good enough. Road here is not good enough in 2016. Go back to 1936. That's like 80 years back how it might have been. So, this Pushpagiri fair, what would happen is every year, the students from the school would go as volunteers and serve there. These are the beautiful traditions that are there in our educational system. When we say Swami brought on the Grama Seva, it's not as if Swami is coming out with new fantastic ideas. This is part of our culture. Swami says, you know, it is not as if you ask, why is the fire hot? The fire is hot. But why should it be hot? Why can't it be cool? It's better to be cool. No, fire has to be hot. Fire is defined as fire because it is hot, else you won't call it fire. Water wets, that's why it's called water, other way it won't be called water. Like that Swami says, Hir Daya. There has to be Daya. It's your nature. It's not a special effort that we put in. And in those days, that was how it was part. So from the school itself, all the students would go and do service in the fair. All kinds of service, giving water, anybody sick, taking care of any kind of help that is needed. They will be the sevadal there. And for that, the teacher wanted Swami to be there because Swami was an unofficial and official leader. He was officially the class monitor, unofficially also. It's not like many leaders of today where you respect them because of the position and post, but if you meet them alone in Antarctica, you won't even look at them because who cares for him? It's his post, that's why I'm scared of and I respect him. So not like that. Even if Swami was not made the class monitor, they would all call him Guru. They should call him Guru. So the teacher said, Swami, you should come. Not Swami, Satyam, you have to come, be ready. And very simple, only 10 anas. 10 anas you have to pay for this. Why? Because this is a bus fare up and down. And whatever your daily food needs, 10 anas you need. Plus you should have a uniform, that's all. The whole class wants Swami. The teacher wants Swami, but Swami does not want to go. Not because he does not want to serve, because he is wondering where I get the uniform from. Dear brothers in Kamalapuram, Swami was in one set of uniform, as Swami narrated. He would come back, can you believe the avatar of the universe comes back home, removes his shirt and shorts, just wears a towel around, washes them himself, puts coal embers in a metal pot, irons the clothes, stands waiting for them to dry. Why, Swami? Why? And when it gets a hole, can't afford to give it to a tailor, pluck thorns from a cactus and put it. This is how the avatar led his life. If I want, I can get everything, but I won't. Because this is the way, this is the template, this is the way to utilize your human body. To show that even in this kind of situation, when I can't afford a pin, I will show you how to serve. You say that, Swami, I earn only 10,000 a month, how can I serve? I can't afford a pin. I will show you how to serve. And at that time, people are so inspired. His classmate, his benchmate was inspired. His benchmate's father was a very rich person. Nowadays, the moment somebody is inspired, they say, you are inspired by me, no? Come on, contribute to me, I will do. You are inspired, this 100 rupees, see what I have done? Give me 1 lakh, I will show you what I will do. Here, they were all inspired and the boy didn't even tell Swami. He told his father, he just told a lie to his father saying that for the Pushpagiri there, I need 2 sets. And when one uniform, he wrote a message saying, Satyam, you are like a brother, you are like my friend to me. Please take this and come to the fair, because if you don't come, it's no life. I will give up my life, Satyam, if you are not there. Because that is how important you are. And he slipped it silently. Nobody even knows, he didn't make a big show of it. Swami didn't take even then. Nobody would have known. Satyam would have just taken the uniform and told his friend that, man, thanks man. He would have just said it silently. He would not have gone and told, Satyam, I only gave uniform. He would have done. Nowadays, both happens. I gave. He is the greatest because he gave. In fact, Swami would tell of a person who said, in a function, please put off the fans. It's so hot, why you want to put off fans? Actually, I highly donated. It is written there, donated by a Krishna. So, you run through it, running, nobody can see them. Put up and they can read. Swami gave back. Swami gave back and Swami said, you are my friend, I am very touched. But friendship is heart to heart, love to love. Let not friendship be ruined by material transactions. He ran back to me. He said, I value this friendship. But I don't want this. You know, when we look at that, I just feel there is also another deeper message that Swami is giving about this giving and taking, because whether we accept it or not, any time we give something, I give it because I expect something. Really? I have got 10,000 rupees to donate. Why do I go and donate it to one particular place? At a very gross level, possibly I get my tax reduction if I give it. Then again, when you donate to central trust also, donate to the health part, you get 100% tax reduction. Donate to other place, only 50% you get. See, even there we have selfishness. It's better than I am not doing anything at all, but still there is there. It's always what do I get from this? That is how we think. If I give this, what can I get from this? In fact, I remember there was one talk on selflessness. Selflessness is just giving without thinking. And the whole purpose of the talk was to inspire everyone to be selfless. At the end, in the question answer session, one person gets up and says, all this is fine. If I am selfless, what will I get? That is how we are. What will I get from this? And that can never be true friendship. See, one may ask, If Swami is my true friend, if he is not ready to take from me, how can I take from him? Because your brother, when Swami gives, he doesn't expect anything. He has given and given, and we see and say, Swami, that fellow, he is doing this, Swami. He is tarnishing your name. Who physically have received from Swami, have gone and spoken against Swami, tarnished the name. And when I say tarnish name, it need not be only by speaking against him. There are many ways to tarnish the Lord's name. But your heart doesn't bother. Why? I didn't give him because I expect him to come and give me back more. I got tears on the day when it was my convocation ceremony, because I'm a very, very calculative kind of person. And I was just thinking, put aside Swami's spiritual benefit, put aside the other character, attitude, habit benefit and all he has given me. 12 lakhs is what he has given for my education. 12 lakhs. If I have to do the same thing what I have done here, triple degree, quadruple degree, yeah, when you are getting free, you will do 100 degrees also. Pay for it, you stop after 1 degree and start earning. My sister did an MBA in a B grade college, paid 3.5 lakhs as a loan. I have studied in an A++, not even paid 100 rupees. I was really in tears. I was thinking, Swami, this many years, that interest amount, Swami, today, forget everything else, I am indebted to you for 15 lakhs. That's me, that's all, everyone over here. right in front of you is a debt of 1 crore, Swami. And Swami says, Bandaru, you want to give me something, get a good name for yourself. Look at that. That has been Swami's lesson from childhood. Friendship, no give and take, only give, no expectation. No give and take meaning, don't have the expectation of receiving. Then only is it called giving. Otherwise, it's a simple business transaction.
This was in 1936. Young boy Ramesh is trying to give Swami a scout uniform. In 2004, we tried to give Swami a book. Right? And it just shows how difficult it is to give anything to Swami. So it was the time when we were all graduating, we wanted to give some gift to Swami. So somebody came up with this idea, let's give Swami a robe. Class of 100 boys, very difficult to decide. Some of them managed to decide it's a robe. But after deciding it's a robe, what about the color? Somebody said orange, saffron, Swami wears it every day. Someone said no, white, because Swami will wear it on his birthday. Then someone said we'll give Swami a red, then Swami can wear it for communication. So we couldn't decide, we said okay, all three. So we got three robes stitched, and with a lot of difficulty, because you have to find that tailor who knows Swami's measurements, and you have to find out that material which Swami uses. All of that homework we did, got the three robes, put it in a box. Of course, we did not dare to like rubbish, we don't accept this, we'll end up like. We just had it a card with it and with all our, you know, short.
You want to write that, no, you should have some level of selflessness. You have this fear, what if Swami says okay?
Yeah, I'll come to what Swami told in return to Ramesh also, but we'll finish this rope incident. So we put it all in a box, and we knew that we couldn't do this in Mandir. In the open, you can't give it to Swami. So we went to Swami's Lathur Mandir and requested Brother Satyajit. The Swami was in Purnachandra at that time, so we requested Brother Satyajit. The moment he saw the box, he said, what is inside? Swami asked him, what is it? So you better tell him. So he said, no, sir, nothing, sir. Just take it to Swami. Just tell that this batch is coming to him. He said, no, I can't take it. Tell what is inside. So he said, it's robes for Swami. So he said, then keep the box. I'll go tell Swami. If Swami says, take it, I will come to you. So he goes inside. And promptly comes back. He said, Swami is asking only for the card. So he said, sir, please ask Swami to accept the robe. Swami is saying that he has enough robes that he can give each one of you one. So we're disappointed, we got the robes back to our room. We are youngsters, right? We're sitting in the room and we're saying, what, yeah, Swami is simply telling like this. If he can really give us robes, let him give them. You know, for the sake of saying, he's saying. Believe me, brothers, the next day, 700 of us got robes from Swami. 700 of us, each one of us, Swami gave robes each one. Not just that. In that someone, Swami goes to Vrindavan and gives all the Vrindavan boys robes. You give three to Swami, you get 1,000 back. You know, it's so difficult to give Swami, and you know, going back to what Swami told Ramesh, Ramesh wrote the slip. You know, behind the slip, Swami writes, do you want our relationship to be eternal? Then let there be no give and take. That is the greatest threat from Swami's side, right? The threat from our side is, Swami, I have left my life. From Swami's side, it's that. I remember there was an old student whom Swami was trying to send him back home after his studies. And this boy desperately wanted to serve Swami. Swami tried all kinds of things. You know, Swami told the registrar to call his parents, to call their parents should come and take him home. Then, you know, all kinds of methods Swami tried. This boy wouldn't budge. Finally, one day Swami comes and tells him, hey, today if you don't leave by lunchtime, the Janma Janmantara Bandhan which we have, I will snap it to you. That's the threat. So it's not only with Ramesh, Swami always has to give that, I guess. And you know, just a little incident I'd like to share here. John Islam shares this very beautiful incident when he wanted to give something to Swami. What happened? You know, in those days in the 1960s, there was this hippies culture which was on the rise. A lot of these American and European youngsters would come to India with their misplaced idea of spirituality, spend time in some ashrams, take all kinds of substances, and go into quasi-ecstasy, and all of that. And a lot of them eventually would land up even in Swami's ashram. So Swami took it upon himself to, you know, call them in groups, counsel them and send them back home. And if they had boyfriend, girlfriend, Swami ensured they were man and wife. So Swami would do all that for some time. So what Swami would do is, Swami would give money to those youngsters in American dollars. Because what these people would do, we spoke to one of those specified gypsy hippies. She went to the Ganges and dropped her passport and visa, and she said, I'm a global citizen. So Swami had to ensure to get her a replacement passport. So all these kind of things. So these people had no money. So Swami had to give them money in American dollars and tell them, okay, go back home. So what Swami would do, Swami would take Indian currency and go to these American devotees and exchange. So I'm saying, give me American dollars. So Hislop saw this and he said, hey, what should Swami exchange? So next time when I come, I will bring 2,000 American dollars and I'll offer it to Swami. So Swami can give it to these hippies. So he brings $2,000. He's waiting for the opportunity to give it to Swami. Again, can't give it in mandir, can't give it in public. So one day Swami takes him for a ride and he's holding the cover in his hand. So he says, you can't even stretch. You have to keep it. If Swami wants, he will take. So Swami says, hey, what is that? And Swami took it. And Swami looked at it. What dollars? Then he explained, Swami, this for this. Swami can use it for this purpose. Swami said, very happy, very happy. And kept it with him. In that afternoon, darshan time, Mr. Hislop is sitting there. And Jogaraj comes down. And when he comes, he sees Jogaraj is having American dollars in his hand. And Hislop was wondering, what's wrong with this? I mean, that was meant for the hippies. And Jogaraj comes and tells Hislop, Hislop, Swami seems to be in a very fine mood today. Because he is sitting there in his room and asking everybody, who wants Hislop's money? Who wants Hislop's money? And distributed. And it didn't occur to him. He said much later when he went back and thought over it, Swami is saying, who wants Hislop's money? Probably somewhere the feeling was there that I am giving to Swami and Swami has accepted from me. I have given something to Swami. And he says that much later another very beautiful incident happens whenever Swami would travel from Bangalore to Kottapathi and otherwise, Swami would stop midway somewhere to have snacks. A lot of these beggars would come. So Swami would give money to them, just a few rupees. And Swami never had pockets. So whoever was the devotee around, they would give money to Swami and Swami would distribute that. So Hislop had noticed this. So he said that one day if I have the opportunity, I should offer Swami this money. So one day he got the chance because he was the only person in the car and he was prepared. He had a bundle of 10 rupee notes ready to be given to Swami. So he got the chance, there were beggars on the road, he gave it to Swami and Swami very happily accepted it and Swami distributed and the remaining Swami gave it back to Hislop. Then Swami goes and Swami has a stopover in another place. So the thing is, Swami's car is this way. Swami is sitting in the back and Swami gets out this way and Hislop gets out that way. And the moment Swami gets out, people are surrounding Swami and Hislop is caught behind the car. And he thinks, oh God, now Swami wants to give money, but the money is with me. How do I get to Swami? And he looks there, Swami is standing there and distributing money. He's wondering, how did Swami get the money? And he puts his hand in the pocket, there's no money in the pocket. And then, so beautifully he summarizes the event, he said, it is very difficult to give Swami because we don't give selflessly. But once Swami accepts, it belongs to Swami whether it is with him or it is with you. It always belongs to Swami. So that is what it is, brothers. You know, sitting here, many of you might want to continue in Swami's organizations and universities. Most of you will be going back to wherever you come from or wherever your career takes you. But once you've given yourself to Swami, wherever you are, be it here, be it Vrindavan, be it Kottapathi, or anywhere in the world, you will always belong to Swami.
You know, having come to know of these incidents, having read these incidents, let me put it the other way. Who here can tell me the difference between the Ultrasaurus and the Brachiosaurus? You know what Ultrasaurus and Brachiosaurus? They're dinosaurs, huge dinosaurs. What is the difference between, people often get confused between Ultrasaurus and Brachiosaurus. When they see the photo, they wonder, is this Ultrasaurus or Brachiosaurus? What is the difference? See, first of all, if you don't know that Ultrasaurus and Brachiosaurus are dinosaurs, if you are called to identify, how on earth will you identify and differentiate? You may get lucky and just say, ah, this is Ultrasaurus. But that's just lucky. If you want to differentiate, what are you going to do? Study dinosaurs. Know this. Know everything. And then I can say this is Ultrasaur. This is Brachiosaur. Every time we come to Mudan Ali, one of the things that hits is people wondering, is what is happening there true or nonsense? And you will have heard people time and again, including T.G. Krishnamurti sir, without naming it, he has told it that it is nonsense. And you may say, how is this? This person criticized, why is this? No, brothers, if you want to know the difference between ultrasound and brachiosurgery, know about dinosaur first. How many of us have finished, at least theoretically, reading Satyam Shyam Sundaram? Both of us haven't still. Have we read Satya Sai Speaks? Have we studied his life? No, that is the reason why actually me and Prem began studying Swami's life also. If I want to know my Lord, I should know his stories. Then possibly a time will come and I can differentiate and say, this is my Lord, this is not my Lord. But let me tell you this much, that in whatever little research we have done with regards to Swami and money, Swami and accepting, it's very shocking. Poison is poison, however sweet it may taste. It will kill. What's happening comes as a shock to both of us. That is why on Radio Sai we carried out a program condemning it, because we felt that's our responsibility. But beyond that, it's not. People say you should do it every 2 weeks, you should keep telling this hammering. Why? It's not our duty to do that. We have done it once. In few weeks, you go and hear it every 2 weeks once. That's all. But after that, if you want to go, go. Now when people ask me, can I go to Mudanadi? Not this part. This part is a forgotten. This is what I call as the island of sanity in the sea of chaos. So when people ask, today morning also, you know, my wife, she was going to take my baby and go to Muni Aunty to meet her. She said, not today, because Muni Aunty will say, why Arvind didn't come? I said, you just tell her. He what to do, he has gone to Mudanadi. When you tell Mudanadi today, people don't think of the island of sanity. They think of the ocean of chaos only. But now when people ask me, can I go to Mudanadi? I know it's definitely they're referring to the ocean of chaos. They say, yeah, go. Go. Because I'm not responsible for your redeeming. If you feel that you are wise enough to differentiate between ultrasound and brachiosurgery, if you are confident, go. Why did you come to Puttaparthi? When Swami was in Vrindavan during the summer, flies would be hard to find in Puttaparthi. Why? Because Swami is in Vrindavan. Only those few staff members battle for them. Only weekend they can go, because otherwise Swami will say, Panichan, go there, I've given you work, go there. Their body is in Puttaparthi, but heart is in Vrindavan. That would be the case. But today it's become an investment. Invest in an oil producing company and an oil refining company, both. Because if some of them go bust, the other thing I can hold on. Let's go to Mudanadi, let's go to Prashanthi. What's wrong? We go to Kedarnath also, we go to Badrinath also. All convenient philosophy. Don't believe anybody, don't believe us. But be confident in your heart that you are an expert on dinosaurs before saying that this is ultrasound, this is brachiosurgery. If not, don't listen to the expert also, you study. If at all this whole apparently nonsensical episode has a lesson, the lesson is, please each one dive and find out Swami. Then you will know what is Swami, what is not. Without knowing, how can you know? This just triggered in me because of the different money related episodes he narrated. There are many, many more. Just read the experiences of Rupa Hira. Just read how people are pined to give money. Swami is never pined to receive money. Why you want to come to Prashanthi and give money? I will travel and come to America and receive from you. Don't. Because Swami has done that. In fact, you won't believe it, when Swami announced the hospital project, he didn't have one paisa in his coffers. So Bangalore, he pledged, hypothecated that Vrindavan Ashram. And I'm choking here, because you know what Swami said, don't hypothecate the boys also. That you don't. His own house he hypothecated. He didn't touch the boys also. That was the only building that was not hypothecated. That's how he has built. After that, people get inspired. Then the donations flow in, and then that is used to repay the loans. Swami's projects never began as financial planning, get the finance and execute. It was always starting with passion from compassion in the heart, which leads to passion in the spirit, which leads to innovation in the head, and then it always was announced first and made. Swami never asked. In fact, even see, we are in Kamalapuram, we had to go to the fair. He tried everything, but he saw everybody is pining, they want Swami. Swami also wants to go because he wants to serve. So you know what Swami decides? Swami decides, I got my textbooks anyway, no use, brand new there. Swami is also like us. Our textbook is also brand new. All the wear and tear for our textbooks comes as the exam comes. Till textbook, till examination is brand new, after that it gets worn and torn, but Swami was not like that. Swami said, I don't need the books. So he went to one bright student who was not so endowed financially, who was poor, and Swami told him, see, you are such a brilliant student, you are going to succeed this year, and next year you will need these books. I am a senior, now I am going to give you brand new there. So he said, Swami, they may be brand new, but I'd rather take some worn out book for half the price. Swami said, how much is half price? 13 anas, no? Swami, 5 anas are enough to give you. See, he was ready to pay 13 anas. But Swami said, no, give me 5 anas. Because that's all what I need. What a beautiful lesson it is. Don't take more than what you need. Because that is the beginning of corruption. That is the beginning of the ruin that sets in. Because the root cause of corruption is desire. And the moment I want to take more than what I need, as Mahatma Gandhi said, right, you know it, right? There is enough for every man's need, but not even for one man's. Yeah. And greed, how do you define? If I want 10 paisa, if I seek 20 paisa, is that greed? Or if I want 10 paisa, if I seek 1 rupee, is it greed? What is greed? I feel that if I am seeking 20 paisa, then 50 paisa is greed. Somebody who seeks 1 rupee, he feels 2 rupee is greed. In fact, I just narrate one more little incident when the hospital was started, and Swami said, we'll give free to all. He said, Swami, don't make it free to all. No? Because the man always thinks like that, money, how? Swami, we'll make it free to the poor. Swami asked a beautiful question. How do you define who is poor? You know what? In spite of what I am earning, if I have a heart attack, I just say, yeah, I am poor, I can't afford a heart surgery. A person who earns half of what I am earning will also say, I can't afford a heart surgery. Who is poor? Who is rich? And therefore, even if I need 10 paisa and I see 10.5 paisa, that's greed. Doesn't matter how much. If I smoke 100 cigarettes or 1 cigarette, I am a smoker. If I take 1 cigarette also. In the same way, Swami did not. He said, I need only 5 anas. Half the price of the textbook is 13 anas, but give me 5 anas, it's enough. And the boy was thrilled. And he gave Swami. Swami said, those days it was Gurmini, bought two, so many coins. One full bundle of coins he gave to Swami. And Swami took that and decided, with this now possibly I can go to the fair. But when he came home, that worn cloth tore away, all the coins fell down. His sister-in-law thought that he had gone and robbed a bank. Not robbed a bank, maybe, but robbed somebody. In spite of that other boy coming and explaining, she didn't believe. She gave him a sound thrashing, confiscated all coins, and again left Swami in the same situation that he was in.
So this is really a very, very important lesson that we, Swami teaches us, that when we go out, can we take as much as we really need, even when there is more to be offered? Talking about hospital, you were saying how Swami built the hospital. We all know that one of the people who funded the hospital, mainly initial funding was done by Isaac Taggart. In Puttaparthi, you know, he came to the Institute Auditorium once, when we were with Navan, and he spoke to us about this entire project, how it panned out. He's been coming to Swami from the 70s, and for 13 years Swami did not speak to him. But there are many, many occasions in that 13 years when Swami saved his life. He drove off a cliff one day he was into drugs, so he was almost dead, but Swami came in and resurrected him, literally. But Swami was not talking to him. So many, many years after Swami started speaking, he had this desire that he wanted to sell his ownership of that Hard Rock Cafe which he had, and he wanted to give Swami the money. Well, we all know that he gave the money and Swami took it, but we all don't know the fact that he tried and he tried and he tried, and Swami refused and refused and refused.
And this is as narrated by him.
So when he came and said, you know, when he evaluated the shares, it came to about $50 million. So he gave to Swami and he was pestering Swami, Swami, please accept this money, please accept this money. And then Swami kept saying no, no, no. Eventually, 1 year later, this was told by him, he said the value of the same shares in a span of 1 year goes from 50 odd million dollars to exactly 108 million dollars. It just doubles. It's absolutely unimaginable. He says the guy who bought it from me must be crazy. Because he gave me 108 million dollars. And now Swami says, okay, give me 50 million dollars. So who gave and who accepted? Who was the giver and who was the receiver? And this, brothers, is the story of almost every devotee you see. You know, today when we see Swami and we say, oh, you know, we have this film star who's in Swami's presence. We have so-and-so who is a great cricketer. We have so-and-so who is a great musician. Many years ago, my father had gone to meet one of the musicians, very popular musicians in the country, Kathri Gopal Nag. My father had gone to meet him, to book him for a program. So it was a very professional meeting that they had with him. So after all the dealings were over, he got talking. And then my father happened to say that, I've heard your concerts in Puttaparthi in Vrindavan. And so he was very surprised, oh, your Swami is devotee. And then my father thought it's a nice opportunity to show. He said, my son's studying Swami's college. So that's it, he was almost out of his chair. He said, Swami's students, you're also lucky. And then he went on to say something which probably none of us knew. He said, do you know, sir, whatever I am today is completely Swami's grace. We thought that he came as a world-renowned artist, but he said that he and his father made a trip to Puttaparthi when he was a 10-year-old boy. When they could afford to come to Puttaparthi but could not afford to go back. That was the plight of the family. At that age, they came to Swami, and in the interview room, Swami put his hand on this 10-year-old boy and said, you will become world famous. So who is the giver? Swami has never been the receiver, and he will never be one. Swami said it 100 times in his discourses, but you know, in the way we look at it, but Swami, you've been to hospital. But Swami, you've done a water project, obviously must have taken from people. But when you start going into the stories, you realize that Swami was never the receiver. In fact, we spoke to another person who's supposed to have donated a lot of money to Swami. And his story also was the same. He said, sir, I had lost everything in my business. He said, Swami gave me a small amount of money and Swami said, you start something. And that made him 100 times richer than what he was. And he said, Swami did not permit me to give him as much as I would have wanted to give. And that is what Swami is. He was never a receiver. And it is not for us to stand here and glorify Swami. Right? It's not here to say, oh, Swami never received. Swami did that because he wants us to be in the same position. Swami does not want us to be receivers. Swami wants us to be givers. And Swami says that you go out and become a giver. I will ensure whatever you need comes to you. You don't need to build a corpus and then go out and serve. He says, just like how I went and served in Pushpagiri, I had absolutely nothing. As this story goes, and whenever I read this part of the story, it reminds me, tomorrow I have an exam. What do? I go to Ganesha. Tomorrow I am starting a new job. What do? I go to Ganesha. Why? Let there be no obstacles in my life. Let there be no obstacles in this work I am taking. And here is this little Satyam, our dear Swami. Nothing. He just wants to go to a cattle fair to make his friends happy and to make his teachers happy. See the number of obstacles in his path. He did not cry. He did not crib. He did not complain. But see with what dignity and fortitude he is overcoming each one of these. And at each point, he decides that I will take up more burden, but I will not complain. Because it's a typical situation which all of us will face in our lives. Because here is Swami. You know, he does not want to put his family name down. The whole idea is that the family may reject me, the family might not have been very good to me. Forget family not being good to you. How many of us complained that my father didn't get me the PlayStation? He's not a good father. My father did not give me even this much. My father put me in ordinary school when my friends studied in a better school. So even when our parents do our best for us, we complain. But here is Swami saying that whatever my family did to me, it is my duty to hold their dignity high. And I feel that even this is Parupakaratva. That it is my responsibility. And now there are two conflicting things. He has to hold the honor of the family. And, you know, when we saw it at that time, it is Satyam and his classmates. But when you go back to that constant, Swami is always God. His classmates become devotees. And when devotees are pining for the Lord, how will the Lord refuse? So from Swami's point of view, here are these little boys who really out of their love wanted Swami's company, so Swami could not disappoint them. So Swami does this, you know, goes out of his way to ensure that he does not let his family name down. At the same time, he is able to answer the prayers of his little devotees of his.
He walks 11 kilometers in the night, through the night. And when he is thirsty, as he himself has narrated, he drinks water from the troughs from which buffaloes would drink. You know, we sit and have snacks and tea and coffee with our friends. Swami had water with buffaloes. I just think, no wonder now Dunapada is so dear to your heart. You call everybody as Dunapada. In fact, the incident that Sudhir Bhaskar sir was narrating about Horsley Hills, how Swami went and thanked that buffalo. Professor Kasturi has narrated that incident. He was there. He was the person who went and saw Swami bidding goodbye to this buffalo. And you know the words that Swami used, he has narrated in that speech. He said, Swami went and told, "Koi vasta na Dunapada," just like he would tell any one of us. That was the way Swami, you know, and these are the kind of sacrifices that Swami did to reach the Pushpagiri fair. And at Pushpagiri fair, Swami sir didn't have food to eat because he didn't have that money. Because the five annas are taken away. Something interesting actually happens. Swami finds a one anna coin and a packet of beedis. And Swami says in his discourse that beedi I tore into shreds. You know, three things, brothers, Swami has said. If you want to call yourself, associate yourself with the name Sai also. Non-vegetarian food, smoking, drinking, absolute nose. Swami says, we'll tell you, because Sairam, Jabra, after cold, the toast was spinner. Swami is saying, here you're telling Sairam, there you're chopping chicken and eating. You see that discourse, there's so much of anguish, Swami says that. And Swami says, if you want to call yourself also associated with Sai, these three things should not touch your life. I'm saying this because some of our own brothers, some of our who have graduated from here, maybe not into alcoholism, maybe not into smoking, but definitely into non-vegetarianism. Many. Know that you have just plucked yourself away from Swami. Like how P.J.K. sir was saying, Swami is the teacher who teaches all equally. Your attentiveness, how you follow him, decides whether you are a rank holder or a failure. If not anything, at least these three things, let us keep up for this whole life because we have been blessed. We have been untouched. It's not as if we are addicted, so we find it tough to stay without. We have led clean life so far, let us not get polluted when we go ahead. Because Swami, even when he narrates in the discourse, how he tore apart that beedi and threw it. And that one anna coin, what happens with that we go later. But at this point in time, you know, what shows is one need not be rich to do service. Swami says in the discourse, in order to do service, you just need to have the will to do service. Because I just want to narrate one story that has been happening for the last 8-9 years. You know, Swami gave water for the East and West Godavari districts for the tribals because they had to walk down kilometers to, though the Godavari is flowing there, it's flowing 11 kilometers down. To go 11 kilometers on this Chikpada for ANH-43, it takes 11 minutes, but there it takes 1.5 hours. 2 hours by vehicle. To walk down, your whole day is gone collecting water. So Swami gave water to those tribals and through water Swami entered the hearts of all the tribals because the people, Sevadas, went, taught them about education, medicine, everything, and those villages are ideal villages today. Now inspired by this service, this project of Swami, six youth members, just six of them from the city of Vishakhapatnam, they decided let us do something like this. They travelled 200 kilometers out to Anantagiri Hills, which are very picturesque and beautiful, but they are also home to a large tribal population. It's a part of the Eastern Ghats. This was in the year 2007-2008. They went there and they started just walking, you know, just climbing. They don't know. It's not like they won't show village name with board how far ahead because there's no road. You just walk through forest. Pristine forest. They said, Swami, we also want to do something for somebody. So on a holiday they have gone like this. And the first village they came across was a village called Sankuparthi. They were so thrilled because it matched with Kuttaparthi. Sankuparthi. And what they saw there, they were really shocked. People didn't have proper dress to wear. Everybody wore just one piece of cloth, whether it's a man, woman or a child. Everybody seemed to be in some kind of a stupor, sitting dazed. Why? Because everybody drinks local toddy. Why? Because there's nothing else to do. Whole place is stinking. There's no sanitation, there's only one toilet. That too is part of a school. There's only one teacher in the school who comes once in 3 months. That is the condition and their heart bled. They said, we have to do something for these people. And when they called the people to say, we want to do something, people just didn't respond because they don't trust. So they said, from years like you people are coming, they thought these are some political party. The government just promise and go away, nothing they do, get out. And those villagers then took them, you know, they found out there's a temple, Mallarna Dev, Mallarna Swami Devar, their Lord Shiva. You have to go down, some branches of the trees have been put, you have to balance yourself and go. And to that temple only men can go. Not because of any caste discrimination or gender discrimination, because women and children can't go down that. Can't go down those branches like that. It's very dangerous. Every time you are risking your life, you go to the Lord. Then they found out that little ahead, you know, there was one more village called Boju Valsa. 3 kilometers away. 15 minutes away, right? No, it took them 4 hours to go to Boju Valsa. So you have to climb 75 degree incline. And they found the condition even more pathetic because here children didn't have clothes also. They got to know there's one more place called Galipad. Another 2 kilometers ahead. They started out at 7 in the morning. It was 5 in the evening when they reached Galipad. They saw the condition there. Then they came back, they took out their savings and did one Narayan Seva there. They did the Narayan Seva just to win the love and trust of the villagers. And they said it was a success because 600 people came and partook food and they were so happy. The first time hygienic food, sweet pongal, curd rice, all this. And then 1 month later they went and distributed, it was a winter month, so they distributed blankets. That itself is an amazing story. When they were planning, somebody overheard them talking, got into the discussion, and that person happened to be a side devotee. He said, I will get blankets. And those blankets were given to all those people. And then they went to the villagers and asked, what is it that you want, we will do for you. By now the villagers also felt these men in white really love us. And you know, they say, what hit them the most is the love and simplicity of the villagers. They said, sir, first thing we want, sir, can you build steps to our temple so that we can look at that? They're not having proper food to eat. They didn't tell give food, give car, give road. They said build steps to our temple. It was a challenge because 50 kg cement bags had to go up, dragged. And they say the magic of love, the tribals came together, formed a human chain, passed on the cement bags. The steps were built in a span of 10 days. And the 11th day, call it coincidence, was Mahashivaratri. And they said, sir, this is the first Shivaratri where women and children have come to Mallarna Gudi. Because they could count down the steps. And then began the next request, which was water. Sir, can you get us water? There are many springs in the mountain, but these people don't know how to harness the springs. So they started a project where they will harness the spring water, build storage tanks, put pipes across 7-8 kilometers on the hills to reach a storage tank in each village. Where's the money? You need 1.5 lakh. Not huge, 1.5 lakh is nothing. But they need that much. You know what they did, brothers? It's really very, very moving. They just broke their provident fund deposits. Just took out all their life savings, put it into this. Everybody shifted into night shift. So daytime they can spend on this seva. The tribals were moved. In fact, they brought them to Prashant Vilayam in 2008. Sponsored clothes for all of them. From whose money? Their own money. Brought them to Prashant Vilayam. Swami received a letter and Swami said, you are doing good work, do it. The neighboring tribal village then came and requested that, can you get us water? I said, okay. When they finished that, the neighboring village came and said, see, I am just condensing because so many miraculous stories happened. The neighboring tribal village came and said, can you give us water? They said, okay. Zero savings, all their savings are over. Night they work in their office, daytime they come and work here. Dear brothers, that seva started in 2007. Recently, one member from Radio Sai, Jagannath Rao sir, got the opportunity to go there. He went for the commemoration ceremony of the 250th village. 250 villages have been given drinking water sheerly by six youth. Charge me. For doing seva, you need the will to do seva. That's all. That's all. Anything else they say is selfishness and greed. Swami has himself said, to do seva you don't need anything. To do seva you need the will to do seva. And that's what Swami showed. I had nothing. Swami had nothing that time. But Swami went to Pushpagiri to do seva.
We've heard Swami say this statement many, many times. Swami will say, I don't want quantity, I want quality. A very simple statement. When it comes to seva, you know, Swami would describe it, that look, I don't want you to invest your money or anything else. Can you invest your purity and unity in it? That's a question that Swami would often ask, because some of these Hyderabad youth would tell, in an interaction Swami told them, see, if 10 of you come to me and say, Swami, we have built 10 roads, I will be happy. But if 10 of you come to me and say, Swami, together we have built one road, I will be 10 times more happy. Because for Swami, unity and purity is the most important investment. And for Swami's part, when you put unity and purity, what does Swami say? Divinity will automatically come. And that Swami says is my part. I will play my part. In a wonderful story which we heard, I may be very brief with it. These devotees in Vishakhapatnam, they wanted to do some kind of seva, and they came up with all kinds of different varieties of seva. So one time they decided that they will set up a breakfast counter near the railway station, because a lot of these porters and small laborers, daily wage laborers are there, and they can't afford to have breakfast in hotels, they hardly eat anything. So they said, we will serve breakfast to these people, and every day we will make it a daily ongoing seva. So these people set up this counter and started serving. One day, one new person joined the seva. He was just coming to see how the seva is going on. And when they were serving, they found that one person came, very neatly dressed, in crisp formals, tucked in, wearing shoes, and he came and took breakfast. So this man was a little upset. He said, "Look, this is meant for poor people, and why is this man who seems to be very well off coming and eating?" So the other people who were serving, they said, "Why didn't you go and ask him?" Okay, so after the seva, this person caught that person and asked, "Sir, why are you coming and having breakfast here?" And this person narrated the story. He said, a couple of months back, he had lost his job because of the recession. He was working in a decent company. And he was so angry with society, because he said, nobody was there to help me, I lost my job. And he was not able to find another job. So he decided that he's going to start robbing from them. So he said, I will go and pick people's pockets. So every morning he would get up and dress up as though he's going out to work, and he would go into these busy marketplaces, railway stations, outside banks, and when people are moving around in busy places, he would go and pick their pockets or steal from their bags. So business was flourishing, he was doing really well. He was very happy. The only problem was, you have to leave before the other people leave, right? You have to start early from home. So he was missing breakfast. So one day he comes near this place where the railway station, where these people are serving. So he says, hey, these people are serving breakfast. So I probably have to come here every day, have my breakfast, and then get on with my work. So he comes and has breakfast. And he goes to the nearby bus stand and he stands there waiting for his first victim. And he finds an old man and a young girl come and stand in front of him. And he's been observing them, they've come out from the bank. So he knows there's money in the bag. So he's waiting for the opportune moment to steal from them. And as he's standing behind them, he hears this elderly man tell this young girl, apparently their father and daughter, he says, my life will be fulfilled if I perform your marriage. I've saved enough for that. This is the money I have for that. And once this is done, all my duties are over. And this person hears this, and suddenly he does not have the heart to steal that money. He said, here is a man who's worked all his life for this moment. And how can I be so cruel to take this money away from him? So though he so much wanted to steal, he could not steal. So he goes away from there, he goes to another place, and the same thing happens. He's trying to steal from somebody and he hears some conversation like this, does not have the heart to steal. That whole day he goes to different places, not able to steal, goes back home. lying on his bed, he's wondering, what did I do today which is different? How can I be thinking so morally? And then he realizes that he went and had breakfast in one place. Then he decides to experiment. He comes the next day, has that breakfast. Again, the entire day he does not have the heart to sleep from the bed. And then slowly he takes up another job and he decides to give up this immoral practice of his. And he joins a decent job which pays him much lesser than his previous job. But he ensures that every day he comes to the same place and he breakfasts and he says, sir, I come here because I don't want my mind to change. What is the quantity there? Were they saving 100,000 people? Probably 50, 60 people were getting breakfast there. But when done with that pure heart, when done with love for Swami, and when done unitedly, Swami says, you put purity in unity, my investment, I will come there, divinity will also be present. That's why Swami says, you know, Swami would give that beautiful sequence of events. Swami says, Chamatkar, Paruk, Sanskar, Parukkar, Sakshatkar. But the hidden thing in that is, once you come and see Swami's miracle and then you transform yourself, when you start doing, when your Sanskar becomes Parukkar, that will lead to Sanskar for others. And that will inspire, because when Arvind was telling about the Arantakiri project, 1400 villagers from this particular region came as Sevadal last year. And they have pledged to come every year as Sevadal. And that is how goodness and purity inspires. And needless to say, all of them have stopped drinking, all of them have stopped smoking. And today, every child is named with the prefix Sai. And that is how Swami will manifest when our investment is purity and unity.
Swami, as I said, had got a one anna coin. He proceeded ahead. Then he saw some game going on there. There are these game shows. You give in 1 rupee and you get 100 rupees and different things like that. There's no time, otherwise I would have shown you how all this thing is actually rubbish. How you are never a person of winner, you are always a loser. Any kind of gambling. But anyway, Swami, because it is Swami, you know, he decides to go, puts one anna, becomes two annas, becomes 4 annas, goes on like that. Finally, Swami has got 12 annas. And Swami then decides that this is enough now. And he decides to take that. But even as he is taking that 12 annas, you know, Swami, in his discourse, he has said, he felt for you, so Pahu, it's not fair for him. Because I didn't, you know, I have to win. God's side always wins. That's why Arjuna very intelligently said, I don't want Narayana, he said, you come Arjuna, you come Krishna. I won't fight, no problem. I simply sit and clean horse. Oh, no, you don't do anything, you just come, be my side. That kind of faith we need to have. But, you know, we lack that. You know, Swami might have said this. But you know, Mr. X, you know how close he is to Swami? He is doing that, so therefore, Swami is doing this, X, Y, and Z are doing it. Therefore, that is majority. We foolishly go into democracy in spirituality. In spirituality, there is only one monarch. What he says is the rule. As one of our professors in the university would say, there are two rules. First rule is, only Swami is right. Second rule is, if you are in doubt, refer to rule number one. That's all. So Swami, you know, then said, do you take back? You know, you take back this. Then that person said, no, no, you have won it. It's your right to keep it. Very lucky fellow you are, I don't know how, but you won it, it's yours, you keep it. That's how Swami got 12 annas, with which he thought of surviving. But then, you know, it is almost like karma coming to him. When the Lord takes on a role, karma comes and hits him also. Because Swami says that night when he bundled it and kept it and slept, morning that was gone. Again, somebody has stolen it away. And you know, dear brothers, what is the most amazing part? Imagine you are a CEO of a company, if I am a CEO of a company. A company that I have built and made into one of the most successful conglomerates. It takes humility for me to tell this. Actually, you know, I'm not so great. I was foolish over there. I was being stupid. Luckily, it happened. It really takes humility. Because now I'm successful, I use my success to cover up my mistakes. Because you know what? It depends on who. Because I'm successful, whatever I say is successful. Even my mistakes will be glorified. People will wow. But it takes humility for me to say, no, that's actually a mistake. And was one such occasion in Dasara. Again, you know, tears come because Swami narrated this as his childhood. All, everything is inspiring, and Swami then, you know, he says, Kani nen tappu chesanu. I made a mistake. Don't do like this, please. I was like, Swami, why do you have to publicly do this? No, Swami, nobody will blame you. Seeing your circumstances, nobody will tell anything. What is that game? He is anyway cheating others. But Swami made the point to tell them, Nenu tappu chesanu. And then he would narrate how he went and kept the coins under his head, and when he woke up in the morning, the coins were gone. As if to say that, I stole it from somebody. Gambling is a sin. That's another thing Swami would speak against. And when you say gambling, you may say, I'm not gambling. I'm not a gambler. Because I don't play cards, I don't go to casinos. What is gambling actually? Gambling is, I want to multiply my resources very fast. The moment you have that intention, you are gambling. You may do that with people, you may do that in the stock market. Yeah. That's why in stock market you have traders and investors. Traders are called gamblers. Because you're trying to simply. Why? What, you know what's wrong with this gambling money? When you quickly make money, you know that somebody has quickly lost money. That is misery money. You have given somebody misery and got that money. That money can only give you misery. Give somebody happiness. That's why it is silent. Do something productive, make somebody happy, earn that money. That's happiness money. That money will give you happiness. And therefore gambling is not about going and doing the deal. It's about that desire to make resources very fast, very quick. Greed is what? Greed and gambling, both start with G, both are synonymous. Now there's one episode in the Mahabharata where Karna, after he's made Angaraja, Kunti is shocked. Kunti knows Karna in this. And she sees Karna treating somebody badly. She goes to Karna and says, what happened to you? You were such a noble person. Power and money are the root cause of evil, she says. Power has corrupted you, money has corrupted you. And then, you know, she comes to a realization. It's so beautiful. She says, no, Karna, I don't think power corrupts. Because you know what? My son Yudhishthira is also a king. He's not like this. He is also a king. He is also a ruler. He also has power and money. Power and money don't corrupt. Pursuit of power and money corrupts. First, just like Swami said, holding Swami's hand is no use. Pining to hold Swami's hand gives you benefit. Power and money don't give you loss. Pining to have power and money gives you loss. When you pine for power and money, even when you are not powerful, even when you don't have money, you are a danger to society. We are a danger to society even when we don't have. And if I don't pine for power, I don't pine for money, even if I have all the power and all the money, the best example, when he had not a single pie, when he couldn't afford a pin to put on his shirt, the way he led his life, is the same when he had enough power and resources to pave the gold of Puttaparthi, pave the roads of Puttaparthi with gold. He could have made golden roads in Parthi. Even then he led the life that. When after Swami's body leaving, some of our brothers got the opportunity to clean his room. We had fear, brothers. Small room. What we are getting in the hostel, he is not getting there. Because he doesn't want to. He lived the same way he did when you lived in Kamalapuram, Swami. Why? Why? When people came to give gold, he said to put gold over the devotees. Possibly Kulwant Hall is the only sanctum in the universe where the devotee sitting area has gold, and since the shrine has not had that much gold. Everywhere else is the reverse. Because that is the thing. People think about how this man money, Swami, how he led his life. That is what we have to see. That is what is about giving up greed and sticking only to what we need. That is why I feel so beautiful. You know, Swami doesn't spare himself also. When he narrates this episode of Buddha Buddha Pate, every time Swami says, Nen tappu chesanu. Look at that humility. That's something all of us can learn.
I think we'll wind up in about 5-10 minutes with a final thought, because the last episode which happens in the series of these episodes in Kamalapuram is very, very telling and very, very profound. You know, all this happens, Swami loses all the money, so finally Swami decides to go hungry. And Swami says, fine, I don't have the money, I've lost it. I've done a mistake, I've lost it. I'm not going to complain. So he goes hungry. Then finally there was another boy who saw that Swami was not eating anything. So he forces Swami to take one dosa from his. And again, you know, when you are in the company of Swami, you learn values so easily. That's why the theme of your workshop is so very profound. Living with Swami is through education. Because you know, this boy who wanted to give the dosa to Swami, he realizes, he says, you know what, you're not eating, you take this dosa, Swami will not take. So what does this boy do? He says, I'm feeling very hungry, goes and buys an extra dosa. Eats his coca and saying, I'm not able to eat, this is going waste, let him please eat it. Then Swami says, okay, I'll eat it. So you know, if you are worried about your family's dignity, I will also worry about it. If that is important for you, it becomes important for me also. And that way, even we start learning what is important to Swami. So Swami passed these 3 days, but nobody could make out that this Satyam was eating less because he was the most active scout over there. And then finally, Swami borrows money. Why does he borrow money? Because his sister-in-law was pregnant at this time when Swami came to this cattle fair. So Swami thought, I'm going back from a temple. It would be auspicious to take some prasadam for her. So he borrows money and procures that prasadam. But then he goes back. So then he goes back to his house, and Swami would describe this scene in his discourses, you know. His brother is sitting there, he has come back from his teacher training, and he is drawing lines on a book with a ruler. And the moment he sees Swami coming into this house with all this prasadam, he says, where did you go? Why did you go when, you know, your sister-in-law is pregnant and she needs help? So Swami says that he picks up that ruler and gives Swami a tight whack. And it resulted in
tight whacks.
Like multiple tight whacks, because it results in a very, very bad wound in Swami's hand, and eventually Swami has to bandage it. But what happens is the very next day his Seshanagaru's wife, Sushila, she has a miscarriage. So they send a message to Puttaparthi saying that, you know, your brother-in-law has had miscarriage. So Swami's father comes all the way from Puttaparthi. And then he comes and he's surprised to see Swami. Swami is looking, you know, so much lean. Swami is having this bandage in his hand. And he asks Swami, what happened? So Swami says, no, I just fell down. I just sustained an injury. So then father goes to the neighbor, and, you know, the neighbor had a shock apparently. So that lady, whose name was Subhama, she tells, what is wrong with you? Why have you left your child here? And she describes to Swami's father the travail that Swami has been undergoing and the way he's being treated. And she advises Swami's father, he said, you take away Swami, I mean, you take away Satyam. This way, you know, he's not going to study also. So then, you know, Swami describes the scene where late in the night, Swami's father brings a Petromax lamp, catches Swami's hand and takes him to a corner where there is nobody. And then pleads with Swami, Satyam, come back home, Satyam, come back home. He says, I have no money, I am not able to take care of you, but I will at least sell salt. That's what he says. I'll do whatever it takes, I will do work as a laborer, I will take care of you, please come back with me. And at that time, you know what Swami says? Swami says, but father, how can I come with you? Because just now, sister-in-law has had a miscarriage. If she needs help any time, it's now. Now is the time she needs me. I can't come, so you go, I will come after some time. You know, this is a very, very beautiful episode, because left alone, we all are very, very good. We will not harm anybody. We will always help, we will not hurt. But when juxtaposed to the person who is being unfair to us, when we interact with people who are evil, who are bad, will we still be the same good person that we are? If we remain good when interacting with people who are not good to us, then goodness is our nature. But if we are good only to people who are good to us, Jesus says in the Bible, what credit is it to you to love those who love you? Love those who hate you, then you are a man of God. To be able to shine with that goodness and nobility, no matter who it is, no, my nature will not change depending on who's in front of me. My nature is my nature. And that's what Swami said here. My nature is to be helpful. My nature is to be loving. It doesn't matter if the person whom I'm interacting with is not as loving to me as not. And that is why, you know, Swami would tell that very beautiful Chinnakatha, when there was this sage who was taking a dip in the river, and a scorpion comes floating by in the water. Apparently the scorpion has been washed by the tides. So he sees the scorpion which is struggling, so he picks it up with his hand. And what do you do if what happens if you catch a scorpion? The scorpion stings. The sting pains him, so he drops it. And then again the scorpion is struggling in the water, so again he picks it up. Then again the scorpion stings him, again he drops it. So the people, some youngsters who are sitting in the banks are looking at this man saying, what's wrong with you? Why are you picking up the scorpion and stinging you? And finally he manages to somehow, you know, bear that pain and bring that scorpion and put it into the, on the shore, on the dry land. And then the sage explains, the scorpion's nature is to sting, it is following its nature. My nature is to help, I am following my nature. So my nature of helping will not change just because the scorpion's nature is to sting. And I think this is a very, very important lesson, because goodness, I think all of us are good. Some of you say, andaru manchi pillale, kaani. And I think the whole rest of our life is in that kaani.
I had read a blog of a person, and that person was writing about how he found a little squirrel that had helplessly fallen off, and how he tended and cared for that squirrel till it grew up and ran away. He ends the story with one statement saying, what if there had been a little rat or a little cockroach? See, my love, if it's a small squirrel who you pop him, take care. I will not know if it's a little cockroach for you. Baby cockroach, pop up, take it. I will not. Immediately. My nature depends on what others do. So tell me, if a grain of sand goes in our eye and it becomes red, you neglect it, it becomes infectious. And then you neglect it further, you lose your eyesight, you go to the doctor, and if the doctor asks you what is the cause for your loss of sight, what will you tell? You can't tell anything because all of you are looking what's happening, that's it. Correct? What will you tell? You will say that the grain of sand caused this. But the same grain of sand, when it enters a pearl oyster, it becomes a pearl. Is the grain of sand responsible for loss here and the pearl there? Or the reaction to the grain of sand that is responsible for what it is? Take a rose, put it down, crush it, you get a fragrance. Take a skunk, you know a skunk, put it, crush it. So can you say my stamping is causing the fragrance, my stamping is causing the stink? A response to the stamping. The nature of the rose is such, whether you adorn it on your head or you crush it, it will exude fragrance. The nature of the skunk is such, whether you lift and kiss it or you stamp it, it will go and get a sting. That is how our nature is. If I am angry, if I am frustrated, if I am irritated, if I am yuck, it just shows what I am. I can't say, it's such a stressful situation, that's why I got angry. No. When you squeeze a lemon, lemon juice will come. You squeeze an apple, apple juice will come. One is sour, one is sweet. That's not because of the squeeze, that's because of the nature of the fruit. So when a stress is squeezing us, if anger and bitterness is coming out because that's what is within us. So any such situation that makes us angry, bitter, sad, it just shows that what is within is coming out. That's why Swami says there is no problem in the Srishti, it's all in the Srishti. And the best thing is he didn't just say that. The day he said it, he had decades of life of living that. Because as a child, Swami never complained about it. Anytime if you had gone at the end of that Kamalapuram, he returned back 1 year later, after 1 year of what we will call as torture. When Swami was asked, how was Kamalapuram, he said, awesome. It was wonderful. Swami had only good things to say about it. That is something so profound and important that we should take into our own lives. See, when they say living with God, it might not be, you may think it's not possible because he has left the physical. But it's a wonderful thing that Swami has left behind so many in the physical. As we said at the beginning, whether we had witnessed Swami doing those sacrifices in Kamalapuram, whether we hear it today or read it today, it's the same inspiration that holds. In that sense, it's forever. Each and every one of us, each and every day, have the opportunity to live with God. Whether we make the choice or not, that's left to us. So with that, We are very grateful to Swami for this wonderful opportunity, because dear Swami, though it may seem like the audience is getting benefited, every time both of us get this opportunity to share your beautiful story, Swami. It fills our heart with so much love. It fills our heart with so much inspiration. We are grateful to you for this opportunity, Swami, and pray that we get such opportunities every moment of our life so that we can constantly relive your story, we can constantly live with you, and that will be true education for us, Sai students. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.